Hey, everybody.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Spoiler Alert by Fanservice Apparel.
So we were just talking right before we started to hit record, and I was like, Janae, stop. Let's just continue to talk about this on the podcast.
Okay,
so please continue.
All right. So, well, instead of continuing, I'll kind of go back a little bit.
Back up to the beginning a little bit, and then we will continue our conversation.
So I was telling Nick a true story that happened to me at work the other day. My boss's daughter, who's, I think she's about 10 years old, was hanging out at the office. She was doing her homework, and I was like, what you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm reading this book. And she's like, I'm just barely into it. I'm 9 pages in. And she shows it to me, and it's A Christmas Carol. And I'm like, oh, yeah, A Christmas Carol. That's a classic. That's a great book. And she's like, well, all I know is that some guy named Marley is dead, and this guy Scrooge seems, like, really mean. And I'm like, yeah. Wait, do you not know this story? And she just kind of stared at me like, no, what are you talking about?
And you're like, oh.
I'm like, yeah, wow.
You don't even know.
This is about to change your life, kid. This story is going to stick with you. No, and I'm like, oh, nobody's ever told you this story before. You've never heard of Scrooge before. And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. Well, it's really good. It's a really good story. And when you're done reading the book, you should watch one of the movies because there's like a bunch of movies that were made about this book. And she was like, really? I'm like, yes, but read the book first. You know, I always want to encourage reading with young people. That's very important. Read the book first, then watch the movie, one of the movies. And I said, and you know what? My favorite version of A Christmas Carol is the Muppets Christmas Carol. And she looked at me and said, what's that? And I said, what's the Muppets? And she said, yeah, what's that? I'm like, what's the Muppets? The Muppets, you know, like the Muppets? Like you know, like the Muppets? The Muppets. They're the Muppets. And she's just staring at me, and I'm just keep going, the Muppets, the Muppets, the Muppets, the Muppets. And I, like, can't think of anything. And then I start to say, like, you know, like Jim Henson. I'm like, well, if you don't know the Muppets, you definitely don't know Jim
That'd
Henson.
That'd be really funny. She's like, oh, Jim Henson.
Oh, those Muppets.
Oh, I thought you meant the British slang term.
No, but anyway, I'm just sitting there, like, completely dumbfounded by the fact that this girl is staring at me like I'm stupid because I'm saying the word Muppets over and over, and she has no idea what I'm talking about. So I'm just like, you know what? Why don't you just Google that? Just Google those. Google the Muppets and teach yourself about the Muppets. And then I went to, like, all my other coworkers, and I was like, she doesn't know the Muppets. She doesn't know the Muppets. And some people were surprised, and some people were like, well, yeah, I mean, like, do kids know that these days? And I was like, I don't know. I guess I never thought about it, but I kind of thought that the Muppets were eternal. Yeah. I thought it was for everyone. I mean, they just came out with Muppets Haunted Mansion, the Halloween special.
Yeah.
I'm making them still very relevant, in my opinion.
They are very relevant.
But who watched that?
Oh, no, probably maybe, people our age.
I guess so. Yeah, it wasn't this girl, even though they probably have Disney Plus, as most families do.
I would say that that movie special was for probably people our age because, one, you have to know who the Muppets are and appreciate them.
Which I thought everybody did, but I guess not.
No, Muppets are pretty highbrow.
Ask any 10-year-old you know, listeners, ask any 10-year-old you know if they know about the Muppets, and please report back. Because we must tell the 10-year-olds about the Muppets. They must know.
I remember not many people knew about Muppets when I was younger and I was in school. Like, I liked the Muppets and I watched the old Muppet Show. I remember getting the Netflix DVDs of the Best of the Muppet Show. But it was pretty niche because of, I mean, I don't know. It's just a different type of humor. It's a very specific type of humor. And at the, you know, they were way ahead of their time with the type of humor. Remember when we watched the Muppets movie just a couple months ago? You watched the Muppet movie?
That was like last year. Yeah.
Was that last year?
Yeah, maybe even 2 years ago.
Time is a construct. But yeah, when you watched it, there was like a scene where they didn't know what to do next, and then they pick up the script for the movie so that they know what to do next. That, you know, that doesn't, that's not funny to everybody. That's funny to certain people.
I suppose so, but I felt like it was one of those things that even if you'd never watched it, you still know about it.
In popular culture.
It's in the zeitgeist.
Maybe it used to be, and maybe it is now with people our age and older, because, again, going back to the Muppets Haunted Mansion, that was riddled with jokes that would only make sense if you have gone to the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland. I don't know if there's anything specific to Disneyland that wouldn't be in the one in Disney World, now that I think about
they
it.
Were, they was the no, same. They yeah, because really...
It was kind of like an ambiguous mansion. It wasn't one or the other. It just had references. There were a lot of references in that show.
That's true.
That you have to have gone on that ride many times.
But it was still, I would say it was still like kid-friendly-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our daughter watched it with us. I mean, she didn't really understand what was going on, but she still laughed and thought the ghosts were funny and stuff like that, so.
Yeah. But.
See, but our daughter knows the Muppets because of Muppet Babies.
Well, yeah. There's, I think, and maybe Muppet Babies is Disney's attempt to try to introduce the Muppets to a new demo, because they maybe missed out on that, like, in between us and the people watching Muppet Babies. There is that demo
of Muppet
9 to 10 year olds that don't know.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
I love Muppet Babies, the new version of it, the new Muppet reboot Babies. Of the Muppet Babies on Disney.
Which I guess
there
was an original Junior. Muppet Babies too. But...
when we were little. Oh, or it was like, I was like in the 80s and 90s, if I remember, was the original Muppet Babies.
So there is like a demo of kids that grew up without a, like, Muppet Babies or Muppet.
Or Muppet anything, I guess. There were some movies in the 2000s, but.
There was Muppet Vision in the parks at Disney. But again, that would have been not to her demo.
I guess
it skipped a chunk of time there.
Interesting.
But yeah.
But yes, the Haunted Mansion Halloween special with the Muppets was so cute.
Good.
So cute. So good. I laughed.
I
loved
the
it.
Muppet ghosts. They
the
were
Muppet
so
ghosts were
cute.
Were really fun. I liked just all the little references they had in there. The grumpy old guys that were, you know, in the dune buggies.
In the dune buggy, that was really fun.
And Will Arnett?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, I was like, is that his name? Yes. He was really funny.
Yes.
He was, I mean, he's always funny. I think he's always funny.
I think everybody that was on that just had a good time with it.
It's, yeah, how could you not? I mean, really, it got me in the Halloween spirit. I would watch it again.
Yeah.
I would watch it again.
And
I really would.
I think
would.
That maybe goes to show you the demo that it's playing too. That everybody in it was treating it like an institution. Kind of like SNL, where...
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of moved past being good or bad. It just kind of...
Is
something greater than the sum of its parts.
You're right.
Even though this was good, even if it was bad, it still would have been made, and you still would have been the catalyst for something else to get made, because it's just... It just is. I mean, I that's how I perceive it. But, you know, maybe not with the younger demo.
Maybe not.
Maybe she hasn't even gone to Disneyland. Maybe she hasn't. Maybe she
I don't know.
Get the jokes about keeping your hands and arms, feet and legs inside the dune buggy at all times and not lowering the safety bar. I'll lower it down for you. Like, maybe she doesn't even get that.
Oh, maybe. Maybe so. Yeah, it was really funny when Will Arnett was like, is this haunted room actually stretching? I was like, oh, this is just great. This is just great. I was just nerding out. And the banter between Gonzo and
Pepe. King Kron.
So funny.
I really like. See, and they had a really good dynamic in the show The Muppets. Or was it just Muppets? The one from the, like, early aughts that had that was on ABC, that was the Muppets, like, as a single cam mockumentary style.
That was not early aughts. That was like 5 years ago. This happens all the time. Okay. How many times on this podcast now have you misremembered when something is by a little or by a lot?
Okay. Say again, like, time is a construct.
When you watch the Muppet movie like a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I think that was like 2 years ago. And then you're like, in the early aughts, I think you mean 5 years ago.
That's why I have a calendar, and I put everything on it. And then I just ask Alexa, not Alexa, Siri, to, you know, the one, I sound like an old person. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I just had to share this story with you guys. And it's like, I didn't want to describe the Muppets as puppets, because then I knew that she would be visualizing something completely different. Because that's not what they're, if I said puppet, she's going to think like hand puppets, finger puppets, marionettes. a puppet show, something, like, she'd be in the wrong direction. So I was like, no, Muppets, you just gotta Google the Muppets. Yeah. Just Google them. Learn. Teach yourself about the Muppets. Anyway. Yeah. Jim Henson.
Okay, anyways.
Jim Henson.
That was a good story time.
Yeah.
Now on to our main topic.
Jim Henson.
A retrospective.
Well, there is a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a
bit of a connection.
There's something there.
Continue.
So our main topic, if you will, tonight is, when I said if you will, I was waiting for you to go, I will.
Oh.
Our main topic tonight is talking about Baby Yoda, about Grogu. And
Baby Yoda, wait, are you like 2 years too late on this trend?
Well, not about Baby Yoda in particular. We're talking about kind of how Baby Yoda was revealed to us.
Jump right in.
So I guess we'll jump right in. It was really interesting. A lot of times when you have a movie or a show or this kind of like halvesies that we're getting now, where it's a movie that they kind of chop up into a mini series on these streaming platforms,
or series of movies,
it's a schmovie. You get a lot of spoilers, whether it be from the trailers or from what usually happens. The toys have toy catalogs, and they use those toy catalogs to sell toys to distributors, and inevitably they kind of leak what's going to happen ahead of time, and people can kind of piece together what the big twist is or what kind of the big to-do of the show is. If you remember with WandaVision, there were a lot of Funko Pops that got leaked that showed Wanda and Vision in his, like, magician outfit from the second episode and stuff like that. So there were a lot of leaks like that. And
you think that's mostly happening from toys?
No, I know it's happening with toys.
Interesting.
Generally what's going to happen is that you'll have a movie and let's say, you know, oh, these are the characters that are going to be in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Some of that might be part of a big reveal that a character was in it or somebody didn't die or what have you. And then these toy manufacturers need time to basically, you know,
be ready, concept, and
develop and then produce. And even when you have the toy finished, you know, it's a couple months, some of these bigger retailers, from when it's finished to it gets on a boat, it gets to a distribution center, it gets to the store, they set up a display, they put the toys in the thing, you know, that
all
has to happen.
And they want to time it with when the show or movie is coming out.
Exactly. So there's a lot of stuff that has to get, you know, for lack of a better term, leaked to these manufacturers. And of course, these people do this for lots of projects. Lego, you know, is making Legos for this, that, and the other.
There's always going to be some intern.
So,
that's going to take a picture and send it to their friends.
And Lego, you know, has a meeting with Walmart, and Walmart says, you know, what do you got? And it's like, oh, well, we got this one toy over here where with this character and that character. And they go, okay, send me the, you know, presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And that presentation will have all the sets on it. And a lot of times, I'm remembering now with Legos, with Harry Potter, you know, if a Lego set from an upcoming Harry Potter film had certain characters, people would go, oh, well, there's a Lego set with that character, so they must be coming back, or you know what I mean? Like,
I get what you mean.
People can extrapolate a lot. So it was a really interesting and deliberate choice at the beginning of The Mandalorian to have absolutely no merchandise for the series, because they knew, the executive team there knew exactly how leaks happen and exactly how to stop them from happening, because all of those, you know, shows and stuff that we mentioned where there were leaks that happened, it's not like they just forgot to tell people not to say anything. All of those had very strict NDAs. But, you know, when the ship is that big, as they sometimes call it, you're bound to have leaks, even small ones.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, all it takes is one or two leaks to kind of ruin it for everybody. Even with if you remember, with Spider-Man No Way Home, before the last trailer dropped, there had been people that had recorded it on their phones from either like a Comic-Con or some kind of media presentation.
Oh, yeah.
And it posted online, and people are going, is it real? Is it fake? And, you know, it's everybody wants to be that person that, like, gets it out and and yeah. breaks it, but...
But they're jerks.
But, it ruins it for everybody.
It does, because even if you want to avoid spoilers, you can still get hit with them accidentally. That's mm-hmm. happened to me. Mm-hmm. I can't recall exactly what now, but I know there's been times where I'm maybe one episode behind or something, and then I'm on Facebook, and then bam.
Yep.
It happens. That
especially happened with, Loki week to week. Where the people would stay up and watch it and then start talking about whatever that very specific thing is.
Mm-hmm. I wish we would have started this podcast while we were watching Loki.
Yeah, that would have been good. But what's funny is that conversely, or I guess on a curve, at the very end, you kind of start getting an inverse where if something is so popular that everybody is talking about it everywhere, mm-hmm. nobody is saying any one thing that's too specific because too many people are talking about it. Like, everybody started talking about Squid Game. Everybody was talking about it. Mm-hmm. And yet, I now watched four episodes. None of that had been spoiled for me, even though I, before starting it, mm-hmm. hadn't thought, I'm going to start watching this. I don't want to hear any spoilers. I just interacted with media like normal. And because too many people were all talking mm-hmm. about it, it just was all noise.
You were just getting the memes that were out of context anyway. Yeah. It had a picture of a guy from the show, but it said something about, deadlines and emails and something completely unrelated because it's a meme. Or like the SNL skit didn't really tell you much.
What's really funny is that even all those memes and all of those, that SNL skit, are focusing on one aspect of the show. And there's this whole other aspect of the show that I'm now finding that I was taken by surprise because I actually was expecting to connect some of the dots on some of the memes and other things mm-hmm. that I had seen going, oh, this is what the show is about. But funny enough, it is not. It was just, I think, maybe one of the more of the iconic imagery mm-hmm. Of the series. So that's what people kind of latched onto. But it's right. so interesting that too much noise was made, so there weren't any spoilers.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might have just been a one-off. But anyways.
What does this have to do with Baby Yoda?
Well, with Baby Yoda, they made the intentional choice that they were going to basically forego making money, which I want to know, how high up that had to go before it got okayed. They were foregoing making, the merchandise money at launch of this series for that moment of discovery to be so organic. That moment where you see the little hand come out and you notice, those three fingers and you're like, I know what creature that is.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew anything. And in this
age, I still remember how I felt in that moment.
Yes, I remember too. And just to have a moment that was that genuine where you were going like, wow, it felt like a moment like before the internet where you went into a movie and you had seen a trailer and then that's all you had seen.
Well, it felt like one of the other biggest cinematic reveals of all time, which is I am your father.
Yeah.
Right?
And at that time, it was much easier to keep those kinds of secrets compared to now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to have an organic aha moment that felt very old school Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they got. And it's insane what they had to essentially give up to get to it. Because there's this kind of machine, this media content machine that has formulas that work and people mm-hmm. stick to it and it makes the money that it needs to and people get these assets by these times to turn it into these toys and then this publicist gets this at this date. Like, there's a machine that turns out this content and monetizes it. Mm-hmm. And they
worked outside of that.
And they worked outside of it with the largest entertainment company in the world. Yeah. Which, man, just, it still just, gives you the feels when you think about it. Because nobody spoiled that,
No, and, thinking about it in retrospect, it's like, I think about the trailers that we saw and how this show is very much about Baby Yoda. And yet, they didn't need to put him, Grogu, in the trailers for us to be interested in watching it and to think that we knew what the show was about.
That was, we thought we knew what the show was going to be about, and we didn't, which was great.
And we thought, if we had to guess what the reveal would be, it would be the identity of the Mandalorian or something.
Yeah, something about that, because they did kind of talk about not taking his mask off or something like that. And, you know, it's really interesting if you had had, like, a Lego set, let's say, go alongside the launch of the Mandalorian like normal, it would have been the Mandalorian, Grogu, and then maybe like his ship or something like that.
Sure.
And that would have made the rounds, and people would have been looking at that screenshot going, it's Yoda, but he looks different. Is Yoda in the series? Like Yoda? And it just would have, ruined it.
Yeah.
So, I off the top of my head, I can't think of another series that has done that. I would really love for somebody to let me know. Let us know in the comments, not on the podcast because that's not how podcasts work, but on social media, let us know in comments. If you can think of any other time in modern history, you know, where social media and this kind of big media machine, you know, had been developed already, because you can go back far enough and, you know.
I just think of another Star Wars moment. And
you
that's
can go
when,
to Citizen Kane. And, well, you sure. Know,
I think of when Han Solo died. That was another.
Spoiler alert.
That's the name of the podcast. And it's been a few years. Everybody should know that one by now.
What's another one? Remember Cloverfield? The first Cloverfield movie?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Never saw that one.
It was good. It was really good. The trailers told you that there was some kind of panic and there was something with monsters or aliens or something, but you really got absolutely no context as to what the movie was, which was...
Didn't we talk about this already?
Oh, you know what? We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. Never mind. But anyway,
I don't remember what episode,
we're just in the context of not having any context.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that so much. And, you know, maybe it was a little different for a movie because, you know, really what was going to be the merchandising for like a film like that geared towards.
Yep. We definitely talked about this.
Adults. But, you know, Disney and Star Wars, you know, especially now with look at all the sets and all the toys and whatnot and the merchandise that they have now, I'm sure there were a lot of people that wanted to have that at launch.
That's the thing. Do you think it was ultimately worth it? Obviously, from a fan perspective, we say yes. But, like, do you think that it sabotaged merchandise sales? Do you think that it was, you know, do you think it maybe made the manufacturers mad that they didn't know, that they weren't prepared?
You know, maybe for a moment. And then, of course, they move on to the next thing.
I mean, now there's still Baby Yoda merch, and that show came out 2 years ago, I think.
Well, I think...
And they're still on the shelves, Baby Yoda stuff.
Somebody made the case that this was going to be enough of a cultural phenomenon and you know, wagered on that not being first to market didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was a bet that paid off. What you did see happen, which, intentional or accidental, was that the kind of Etsy gray market type of area boomed with Baby Yoda merchandise.
It kind of paved the way for those people to jump on it really fast.
Yeah. You see shows like Marvel What If and Loki, where there's merchandise that pops up the next day. Sometimes, you know, on Fan Service Apparel's website. But, you know, that again, let us know. Shoot us a message if that had happened elsewhere. But,
you know, you can also comment if you're watching this on YouTube.
Oh,
there's comments on YouTube. And that's, comments. I think, where most of, maybe not most. A good chunk of our listeners every week do check out YouTube.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Are they you guys on YouTube Premium? Is that how you're watching it? Because you can lock your phone while still watching a YouTube video so that you don't have to keep it open.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
This is not an ad. It sounded a little bit advertising. Yeah.
Wait, I need to have my voice sound like distinctly different from the rest of the podcast.
Because you recorded it separately.
Like months ago and I just filled it in. Hey, is this YouTube? Like that?
Is that there you go. Better? Yeah. Perfect.
Boy, it sure is great to lock my phone and still listen to my video.
Yes, so it paved a way for these Etsy and kind of other kind of gray market people to really jump on it, because even if the manufacturers, these big people, had, you know, the day the episode aired, they started working on it, they were probably 4 to 6 months out, best case scenario. Another thing that Disney has done more in the parks division, and maybe this was kind of a copy-paste strategy, which I don't know if they would, because from experience from working with Disney, they are such a big company that different divisions almost act like different companies.
Yeah.
You could have a rapport with one division, and then you go and say, hey, can you connect me with them? And
they're like, I don't know anybody there. You might as well
be saying Hewlett-Packard, because they're like, oh, I don't know. And it's the same company. But what they did with parks is that a lot of the times when there's new Etsy trends and whatnot with parks-related merchandise, they don't necessarily shut them down right away. They see what works, what is selling well in that market, and they use that as kind of their beta testing grounds. And when something kind of prevails as the most popular trend there, they'll either A, you know, throw them a cease and desist, or B, grab that, whatever that, you know, best item was, and then implement it in the parks. And then, you know, a large percentage of people that were buying only because they couldn't get something in the parks, mm-hmm. now do. All of the t-shirts that you see now at any domestic Disney park, the wall of t-shirts that have, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like tongue-in-cheek sayings.
Right.
Oh my gosh, not a couple years ago. Probably 2014, you started to see those pop up because those mm-hmm. had exploded on Etsy, and the parks were not doing anything that interesting with
it. It was very much like early Disney influencers wearing stuff that said like churros and dreams or whatever. I don't know. Churros and dreams.
A suitcase and a churro and a dream.
No, they don't say that.
Well, they should.
I'm just here for the Dole Whip. That kind of thing.
Cringy ones. You started to see those pop up because before that, the merchandise, especially for apparel, had been just very lackluster. I mean,
it was.
It was geared towards a very mass audience, very much
or just kids. A lot of kids.
Kids or tourists. I'm coming kids here once. Mm-hmm. This is my yearly trip. I want a shirt that says
I went to Disneyland.
This year.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, you know, especially with California and Disneyland, there were more locals than tourists. So, you know, these locals were not buying at the time. They weren't buying, I mean, still aren't, buying stuff that says 2015 on it. Because I went way too many times in 2015 to buy a shirt that said 2015.
And you're going to go in 2016 and 2017. Exactly. So
they kind of let Etsy be kind of this testing ground, and then they ended up, implementing that. If I had to make an educated guess,
They've developed a symbiotic relationship with Etsy sellers, and
that's what it looked like, because a lot of Grogu stuff came out. A lot. Some of it was really clever and really good, mm-hmm. and most of it was garbage. Mm-hmm. It was just garbage stuff. But there was but there was nothing else out there officially, so that's where everybody went.
Yeah.
And by not having anything official, all of the eyeballs, if they wanted merchandise, went to the secondhand. Well, not secondhand. They went to this like Etsy gray market type market. So you really got to have a interesting case study where you didn't have an official option. You only had this kind of gray market, and you'd be able to see. When I say it out loud, it almost sounds like maybe they ran this as some kind of experiment, because even with merchandise that existed in the parks, there is some kind of park equivalent, even if it's substandard. So it's kind of hard to get a apples-to-apples comparison. But in this case, you had 4 to 6 months of absolutely no official merchandise, so you really got to see what the, I'm going to misuse a phrase here, but what the free market would come up with. And how, who would be the ones that prevailed in this kind of experiment. And I wouldn't be surprised if the stuff that did best, you know, not with toys and such, because smaller people can't do that, but with apparel and
apparel
other, and stickers and things like that, decals, pins, even maybe. Who did very well, and then how did that compare to when Disney started to come out with official stuff? Because I'm willing to bet that there's going to be some similarities there, because that, I mean, that's how I'd play it if I were doing that. So, yeah, very, very interesting. Let us know in the comments kind of your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
If you think that you would have rather had toys right at the launch, or you appreciated that somebody went through the effort to have this kind of organic moment of discovery that in this age of too much information would have otherwise just been squashed.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see what other people think. As always, this podcast is, I guess, sponsored by Fan Service Apparel, our apparel shop. Check it out. We have some amazing stuff.
That's right.
From Disney, Marvel, Harry Potter, Sherlock.
Not from. It's not from. It's inspired
well,
by.
Well, it's not from, because those are fictional places. It is inspired by the aforementioned IPs. But yeah.
And many more.
And many more that I did not list here.
Yeah.
So check it out. Oh, you know what I saw in our shop the other day that I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy this. I think I'm gonna buy it.
What?
It is a purple shirt that has the logo of this podcast on
it. Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, oh my God, when'd you do that?
I did. I did do that. If you like this podcast, which I hope you do, you're here listening.
I'm gonna buy it.
Get the shirt. Get the shirt. It's a purple shirt. It has spoiler alert on it. It's simple.
Mine's in the mail.
Perfect. Actually, Nick's Halloween costume is based around something that we sell in our shop, but we're not going to tell you what it is. It's going to be a surprise, and you're going to see it on Instagram.
So if you want to match, you just have to buy one of everything in the store. And then we'll be good.
There you go. Perfect. Yes. But yes, Fan Service Apparel, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You can also find Nick on Instagram at Everybody Goes to Rick's. And you can find me on Instagram at Jenee, J-E-N-E, _ with an accent. And make sure that you subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen so that you can know when new episodes are up.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, hit that little bell. Ding dong. If it's on Spotify, follow it. If it's
find
on
a bell,
Apple,
hit it.
Just hit that bell. Just I don't need to go through all the podcast things. You know what to do.
Yeah.
You know what to do. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you next time.